Well, I'm just going to add a little bit to the Awe of God series in a little bit of a different way, just looking at a specific chapter here in the Bible that's coming from Matthew 12. So if you have your Bibles with you, and you have your Bibles on your phone, we are literally going to be sticking in Matthew 12 for the majority of tonight. But I want to talk to you a little bit about problem or potential. Problem or potential. Do we have that slide, Lawrence or Pastor Brad or... Lawrence, Pastor Brad. Okay. Problem or potential? Do we got that slide, Lawrence? Is it working? Okay, good. All right, so problem or potential. Matthew 12:35. I just want to make sure it was good to go. Matthew 12:35, it says this right here, that a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And I read the scripture a couple weeks ago in a devotional that I was doing, and I could not shake what was being said, and it just kind of stuck with me. Now, I found myself going through these questions right here, and you guys check out these questions. What have I been storing in my heart lately? That's what I just felt like the Lord was asking me. Am I seeing consistent growth in my life? And what about my words? What about my thinking of late, or even how Matt has been acting? And the passage found in Matthew really challenged me to take a closer look at myself. Good things out of the good, evil things out of the evil. And here's a truth bomb, or just a truth that I think is good for all of us. It is never easy to take a hard look at ourselves. It's never easy to take a hard look at ourselves. If we went home and stood in front of a mirror and took off all our clothes, we're standing naked in front of a mirror, here's what I know. We will all find things that we don't like about ourselves. Middle toe is longer than the big toe. Kneecap higher than the other kneecap. You're going to have birthmarks, scars, wanting more of this or less of that. But truthfully, it is so much harder to get real with ourselves and take a look on the inside. It's where, when we look on the inside, that it becomes very, very difficult for all of us. And truly, the most important thing that to God is what's going on the inside. Amen? That's really what matters to him. So in Matthew chapter 12, this entire chapter, Jesus and his disciples are under attack. That's pretty much, if you read through it, if you want to go back and even do your own devotional on it, there's some other things that you'll have under it. But why was he under attack? Was Jesus trying to challenge doctrine? Was Jesus trying to overthrow the Sanhedrin? Was Jesus cursing the king or robbing tax collectors on less traveled roads? Well, let's just get right into it. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 9, it says this. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, would you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. And then skipping to verse 22, it says this, "Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, and so that they could both talk and see. And the people were astonished and said, 'Could this be the son of David?' But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'It is only by Beelzebul, that the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons.'" So what was Jesus doing? What I'm reading in that scripture is that it doesn't matter what day it is, he's about doing his Father's will. He's going to do good. Amen? Everybody say good. I mean, that's just what this is about. He's doing good, but because it's on the Sabbath, they see it as evil. So this was what will happen. No matter how much good you do or try to do, some will never be able to see or find value in it. It's a true problem. Remember, whenever there's someone that is trying to prove something that is future, that has future potential, there is always someone who is going to have a problem with it. Why? I don't know. I mean, I know that in my own life, there's been instances where people have come against me or our family or something because they were there was a territorial thing going on for them. There can be jealousy in somebody's mind. There could be somebody that likes to armchair quarterback or be the micromanager of your life. But one thing is for sure, they cannot see potential. They cannot see the potential good for the future. They only see it as a problem. So let's get back into Matthew 12. So in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Baal-Zebul, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So what I want to say tonight is that what we've just read in Matthew chapter 12, and we still have a little bit more to read, is that Jesus is making it very clear that whatever is going on in our hearts is what governs our life response. So let me say it again. Whatever is going on in the heart is what governs our life response. What I mean by governs, it controls or it dictates. It reigns, it captains, it directs, it regulates. Or how about this one? It holds dominion. Are we storing up good potential or are we storing up bad problems? Good potential or bad problems? So I want to take a closer look, and here's my first thought. My first thought is this: to do good or to be good, we need God's Spirit. Amen? So how many of you have ever went to do something good and you had every intention of it being good and it ended up just being a bad situation? I know that that's happened with me. I was sitting there. I decided this one girl had been trying to meet with me. I was a youth pastor and it was really busy. We were in the middle of a production for whatever, and she just needed to talk to me. So I decided to sit down and I was talking with her, and I was, you know, we're going over some things. And let me say this too. I'd only been youth pastor there for probably like 2 months, 2.5 months. In comes this lady, and she walks in and she says, "Hey, you know, Becky, you know, I'm going to do this. You know, I'll talk to you. I'll see you after a while." And when the lady walked out, I said, "Well, how long have you been living with your grandma?" And she goes, "My grandma?" And it was her mom. So I had totally stuck my foot in my mouth. You know what I'm saying, you guys? So it was like, I'm meeting with her to try to help her. And then all of a sudden now I've done some. Anyway, guys, it just all fell apart from there. I was in Starbucks a couple weeks ago talking about trying to do something good, but it only kind of causes a bad situation. I was in Starbucks. I was waiting on a meeting for somebody to show up, and these four ladies come in. They just got through working out. They were sweating. You know, one had their little rolled up mat under her arm, and they come in. And they make their orders, and so my order comes up, I get it, and I go back and sit down, and then their orders come up, and I had to write this down. They ordered all four of them ordered a venti frap Java chip. Now, guys, now capture my heart on this one, okay? They just went and worked out for who knows how long. possibly burning around 300 to 400 calories, and now they just have come into Starbucks, and listen to this, they bought a drink that has 600 calories, 80 grams of sugar, and 22 grams of fat in one drink. So for an hour and a half or however long they worked out, they just came in and they drank this thing in about 10 minutes and completely wiped it out. Whatever good they were trying to do, it's gone. My brother and I, when we lived in the Castro Valley area, there was a place that we would work out, and next door was this Italian restaurant that this guy was known. He had been on talk shows, David Letterman, down on the Tonight Show, and he was known for throwing pizzas. And so we would go in and work our tails off, and then we would go next door, and both of us would destroy an extra large pizza. So it was like, come on, guys. You know, so anyway, so spiritually speaking, with the best of intentions of doing something amazingly good, we had that, but here's what we have to understand is that when we decide we want to do something, we have all the best intentions, and we want to do something awesome for God, we can't do this without His Spirit leading us. We have to have God's Spirit to direct us. Matthew 12:28, listen to what Jesus says. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. It is by His Spirit that helps us get to a place that we are storing up what is good, not counterfeit good, but that it's God good. Everybody say God good. I mean, it's just God good. You know, we it comes from Him. It's of Him. His Spirit is leading us, and He's doing good through our lives. I watched, I don't know if you guys ever have caught that show, Beyond Scared Straight. It's where they take these kids that are acting up, and they take them to prison for a day. And they threw this one kid, man, in a cell with four of these gangbangers, and, man, they were giving him the business. I mean, they had him crying, had him doing push-ups. He had to use the restroom in front of them. I mean, there was all kinds of things they were doing to kind of go at this kid. And so by the end, though, they're showing, they're having talks, they're walking him around, they're introducing him to people that were in for life for murder, in for 40 years for drug trafficking, and he's crying and all this. And so at the end, the little guy gets up to share what he's learned. Okay, so check this out. And I wrote this down. He basically says this right here. They ask, "What have you learned today?" He goes, "I've learned I need to stop drinking, so I'm just going to smoke more pot." So guys, the inmates just like jumped up off, and they're like, and they get right in his face. "That's all you've learned today?" And I thought they were going to kill him. But the thing they said is, "Have you heard one word we've said to you all day?" Like, he just didn't receive it. He wasn't hearing. He wasn't seeing, the bad that had come from those men's decisions in their lives. Ezekiel 36:27 says, "And I will put my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes." That's what I love about this, because if we try to do it on our own, we're going to continue to make messes. But when He puts His Spirit in us, then we walk according to the plans that God has for our lives. Give me an amen. I love that part of it. It is only by His Spirit, that first we can remove the bad problems, and it's by His Spirit that we are capable of storing up good potential in our hearts. The goal, I really truly believe this, is that a good man or woman is that we bring it, that God brings out the good that we have, the potential, our futures, that we will walk out the rest of our days pursuing the good that God has for our lives. Amen. I really am hoping that for all of us. We are storing up the good so that it can be used. To get here, we need Jesus. We need to be in awe of Him. Second thought is this: problems have never fixed themselves. Let's go back into it. Matthew 12:25, it says this: Jesus confronted their slander. A judge who gives opposite verdicts on the same person cancels himself out. A family that's in a constant squabble disintegrates. If Satan banishes Satan, is there any Satan left? If you're slinging devil mud at me, calling me a devil kicking out devils, doesn't the same mud stick to your own exorcist? But if it's by God's power that I am sending the evil spirits packing, then God's kingdom is here for sure. It comes out of the Message. That's a great translation of that. So let me expand on what Jesus is addressing. He's saying this right here. He's letting us know that when when the enemy is attacking our lives, basically what Jesus is saying is that the devil is not going to just all of a sudden wake up one day and say, I feel like I'm going to stop attacking them. He's not going to cancel himself out. So he's saying that the devil doesn't remove himself. He also says this, that people will ultimately appoint themselves judge of what is good and what is bad in your life. He also says that if it's by God's power good has been done, then who can stand in its way? If God is doing it, if God has called you to do it, if God is using you to do it, nothing can stand in your way. He's going to use you. So if Satan is not going to leave us alone, then we need the power of God. Jesus has addressed it is by his Spirit, and now he states that the true potential is actually activated by the Spirit's power. I love that. We need his Spirit, but everything that we're going to do, it's activated by his power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, you know Pentecost Sunday is coming up in a couple weeks, right? And one of the guest speakers on that Sunday is sitting right here. Lori and I are going to tag team it. Come on. Yes. Give me a yes. Yes. Is it a yes, a firm yes? Is it? Yeah, good. Okay, she said yes. Did you say yes? We're going to tag team it. It's going to be great. Pentecost Sunday is coming up. Power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3, verse 7 through 8 says this. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And this can only happen by the power of God. You know, when I got saved back in 1984, I remember sitting there with my youth pastor, and we had prayed the sinner's prayer. It was super raw in the room. I didn't really understand really exactly if I had really, I didn't know what had just transpired. And I said, that's what I want to ask God. I want him to change that part of me. And guys, let me say that the miracle is that God did it immediately. And I'm telling you, and I struggled for a couple years after with all kinds of other things. But because that was the first thing I asked for, I just feel like God blessed me with that through the power of his Holy Spirit. And listen, we already know the power that words have. We know scriptures that go with this. For you and me to begin to store up good in our hearts, we have to address the problems that are already there. That could actually be something that all of us pray tonight in prayer time. If you're staying for prayer, that we're going to give that to God. Say, God, show me. If there's anything that's bad that's inside of me that I need to let go of or I need to move past, reveal that to me tonight so that I can start storing good there. We fix the problem by giving access to God to remove the bad so that we can be restored with the good. One of my thoughts on Sunday was that we are saying yes to the searching power of God's word. And I think that part of having a fear of God is that we understand that when we give our lives and when we say, God, I want you to help me or search me, get ready, because he's going to do it. And the third thought is this, is that we are recognized by our fruits. So we have to do good or to be good, we need God's Spirit. Problems have never fixed themselves. And the last thought is this, is that we are recognized by our fruits. Matthew 12, verse 33, Jesus says this, that make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. If you go back to Matthew chapter 7, look at this, and starting with verse 15, he says, watch out for false prophets. And what he's saying, watch out for those who store up bad in their hearts. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. I want to be recognized as a man of God. I think all men and all the ladies in here, you would agree that that's what you want to be recognized, that you are a woman of God, that you are a man of God. And I want to be recognized that way. I want to be recognized as Matthew 12, how he describes where Jesus says this, that a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. That's what I want. I want good fruit to come out of my life. We've actually talked about this a couple times in some of the series that we've gone through this year, that we want this. We want it to actually come off of our lips. Still, you know, listen, we're still going to make mistakes. And I understand that more than anybody. But here's the thing is that I have stored up good in my heart for those rainy days that will come. There's going to be days, I'm telling you, that will come and everything's going so good and just a phone call or a report or something happens and the enemy will try to come in and attack. It's going to push you. I've had some great interactions with people in grocery stores. I've had them with cops that were trying to write me a ticket. I've had them with teachers in the past. I've had them even with pastors, that some of the banter that's gone back and forth. And when you walk away, you're angry, or you're uptight, or you've been frazzled, or you've been filled with anxiety. And the next thing you know is you have to recognize who is behind this. And so I can't let the enemy, we can't let the enemy do this, but because we have stored up good for the rainy days when the problems arise. Storing up good so that we can stand against the attacks. Psalms 41 and 2. You know, I never paid attention to this scripture until U2, the band U2, back in 83, released that album that had Psalms 40 on it. And I heard Bono sing it for the first time, and I went and got my Bible and opened it up and read Psalms 40, really for the first time as just a young man. This is even before I gave my heart to the Lord. And I remember sitting there and reading this passage of scripture while this song is being sung, and didn't know it then, but the Holy Spirit was doing a work in my life. Something was happening. Something was stimulating. But look at this. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And this is exactly how it feels when we're in a very low place, or when things aren't going the way that we need them to go in a day or in a week or in a year. And it feels like this, but it says in the scripture that at some point he reaches down, he picks us up, and he sets our feet on a firm rock. A great place to stay. Psalm 62, 2, truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. No matter what happens, no matter what the enemy tries to throw my way, I have stored up good in my heart for those rainy days. So I want to close this up. I've only got a few more minutes, and we're just going to pray before we go into prayer. But remember that everything good that came from Jesus in chapter 12, if you read all the stuff that he gives us, and he gives us some good stuff, the entire time he's giving that good, he's being attacked. Now I want everybody just to kind of let that sit with you just a little bit. That even while he's being attacked, he's trying to be slandered, they're actually wanting to kill him, that he still is dishing out good. Man, what a lesson. What a good thing for us to step in. Oh. What are we carrying inside? Is what we have inside right now, is it creating problems, or is it actually creating potential? Are we in awe of our God? Have we become, or have we become bored with him? Now let me just say it one more time, because I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, do we have a holy fear of God, or are we actually bored with him? I would say this, to give God access to the inner parts of your heart and let him create a new heart, a place for storing up good things for him. Desire to consistently grow with God, because God is always ready. And here's the truth, sometimes we're not. He's always ready. But sometimes we're not. We're not ready to do what he's calling us to. So we just need to ask him to help us show more consistency in our walk. So what we've talked about tonight is this right here. I want to encourage you, is that we need to pray for more of his spirit, to be led by his spirit, that we don't let problems rob us of anything that is of God potential. Don't want him to take that. I don't want him to take any opportunity that God is trying to line up for me. And this last thing is this: be known for being a tree that produces good fruit. Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for just what you've said to us. Jesus, thank you for Matthew chapter 12. Lord, that you actually show us that even when we're under attack, we can still do good. We can even let good come out of our mouths. We can let good invade our hearts. And Father, I love the idea that we can actually store up things for when we do have those bad days or bad weeks, that we have a reservoir in you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll empower every man or woman or student that's in this room today, that God, that we will understand that you are leading us. You are the one that we get our power from. Our potential is found in you. Our problems go away because of you. And Satan, you are a liar. You have no power over any person in this room. We know who you are, and we call you out, and we give our lives, we give our hearts, we give our tomorrows to our Lord Jesus. Father, make us trees that produce. Amen. All right.
You already drank out of that bottle. Drinking after, never mind. Good evening, everyone. Guys, ready to pray? I love it when God just kind of like brings things together. Lawrence, if you could you kind of dim the headlights up here, please? So as I was just kind of praying into... Yeah, yeah. After we do the initial worship song, it'll be what we play for the remainder of prayer. Okay. By the way, I thought Pastor John was teaching tonight because his name was actually on that lesson on the Harvest app. I was like, wow. So as Pastor Matt was teaching, I've got my notes right here, and I just want to share with you kind of the focus of prayer tonight, and it really involves, it's a theme, I think, in the body of Christ, especially today, that we pray for more of his Holy Spirit. But I just wanted to share some things with you before we go into worship to kind of set the stage for the direction that we're going to go in prayer tonight. Jesus, in Matthew 11:12, I always go back to this, when Jesus said, and from the last days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And that's a word for us to understand that there is spiritual warfare involved in our lives as Christians, is that we're not supposed to sit idly by and just allow things to happen and not fight back. And now the way that we fight back is not in a physical form. It's in a spiritual war. It's in a spiritual form, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the God. But I'm going to take you through a couple of scriptures tonight as we get ready to go into worship. In Luke 17, Jesus was having a conversation with the Pharisees, and he said this to them. He says, "Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation.'" And so what I want to share with you tonight out of that is that you just can't sit back and watch things happen and believe that the kingdom of God is operating within you. And I'm going to share another scripture to kind of put the exclamation point on that. But that as Christians, we need to understand that the kingdom of heaven does reside within us. And in that particular scripture right there, Jesus was talking about when he said this to the Pharisees, that it does not come by observation, But then he went on to say, but the kingdom of God is within you. But the more accurate translation of within you is in your midst. Or a Chuck version is, I'm standing right here, guys. Right? Which is what Jesus was trying to tell them. I'm standing right here. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Right? And then in Acts 19, I'm gonna just share a quick story with you. Like, we have so many people that genuinely believe that they can come to church and they can watch what's going on, and you know, that somehow things will just assimilate to them. But you know, to make a commitment to Christ, to step in to what God is doing, involves us also becoming participants in what God desires to do this on this earth and yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit for more. And so when Jesus talks about that this doesn't come through observation, you don't get this by just looking. That's almost saying, like, I believe in Jesus, but there's no evidence of it in your life. Amen? You guys tracking with that? So here's a good example to some guys that thought that they could do what they saw some of the disciples doing. It says in Acts 19, now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or aprons brought from his body to the sick and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's a powerful anointing right there. Just don't build a ministry on it. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. They didn't have that personal relationship with him. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, and this is where you never want to be in a spiritual warfare battle. When the enemy comes back to you and he says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? And see, with this, and the end of the story wasn't good for the guys because they ran away naked. But the thing of it is, it's just like we have to get to a place that we just really begin to press in and desire more of the Spirit. And so when we begin to go into intercession tonight, this is one of the things that I want to pray over the body of Christ here at Harvest, is that there becomes a release in this house where the atmosphere gets to a place where it is a place of complete and total surrender. Complete and total surrender, that God may be able to move into the lives of us. And here's the end goal with this. Remember we said that Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he said the kingdom of heaven is in your midst, like I'm right here. People say, well, that was Jesus, that's not us. Well, let's talk about that. Acts chapter 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been standing healed, they could say nothing against him. And see, this is the thing, that as we begin to come in and pray tonight, let's pray. Let's pray for just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into lives and hearts of men and women and children that just change us to the very core of who we are. Can we pray that tonight? Can we just really get into it and just pray? So let's all stand up tonight. Let's kind of enter in and worship. And then we're going to step into this, and I want you guys to be bold, and let's just petition the gates of heaven just for more of his presence and open heaven over this house. There you go. The altars are open, folks, if you want to just come up and worship. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that it is biblical when you are glorified that the Holy Spirit comes. Tonight, Lord Jesus, as we just glorify your name, Lord, as intercessors tonight, we stand before you. We are so grateful tonight, Lord God. Lord, to be in your tangible presence, King. To be in this place, Lord God, in this house tonight. Lord, that you are here. And then, Lord God, we are in your midst. And so tonight, Lord God, as we just begin to press in prayer, as we just begin to come in and call out on your name, Lord God, to cry out to you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that it is in your heart that you would hear us, Lord, that you would hear the cries, Lord God, that we would bring before you. Because, God, in this place and in this house, Lord God, we are a people that desires revival. We are a people, Lord God, that as we stand before you, God, Lord, we desire to be cleansed. We desire to be changed, oh God.